Hi, I'm Nicole Ferraro, and this is The Divide, a podcast from Light Reading exploring the ongoing digital divide, why and where it still exists, and what needs to be done to get people everywhere connected to reliable, high-speed internet. Today, I am joined by Brittany Watson, who is the Digital Equity Officer at the Vermont Community Broadband Board, or VCBB. We discuss the digital divide in the state of Vermont, where the ongoing challenges to deployment and adoption are, why and how Brittany and her team are rolling out a statewide digital navigator program, takeaways from Vermont's digital equity plan, and more. All right, Brittany, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yes, thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. I am excited to talk to you about digital equity and the digital divide in Vermont. But to start off, why don't you just tell me a little bit about your role and where it sits within the state government?
Yes. So I am the Digital Equity Officer for Vermont Community Broadband Board. And so Vermont Community Broadband Board is a part of the Public Service Department, and which is part of the state of Vermont government work. In my role, I focus primarily on affordability, accessibility, and digital skills as it pertains to kind of like more of the logistics of after Vermonters are connected to the internet, right? So then it's like the now what, or then focusing on the details and like how do we maintain that?
Absolutely. Yeah, we talk a lot about the access divide in this country, but then there's a whole adoption divide as well, and digital skills challenges. So I'd love to hear about the digital divide in Vermont from your perspective, from this vantage point. Where are you all still facing challenges with access and adoption, digital skills? What are the main problems you're trying to solve?
So in Vermont, we're focusing on three major barriers. These are commonly like identified barriers throughout the nation, which is accessibility, affordability, and digital skilling. And what we're seeing in Vermont, of course, there was national data on this as Vermont started to do more engagement within our communities. It really just confirmed what has been presented as the barriers. And so what we're seeing is that Vermonters are commonly citing their internet bills being too high. They're having trouble with being able to connect to internet in their homes. They're having issues with having the appropriate devices to be able to use the internet meaningfully and safely. And then there's a lack of knowledge or understanding, like the lack of skills really to use their devices, and then knowledge of the internet itself to be able to be on the internet in a meaningful way. That's in like more like broader sense of what we're facing, and what we're seeing in terms of gaps around that, or I guess what's still presenting as an issue for us. We are underway in building broadband throughout the state, and you know, if appears as at least as of today, I feel pretty confident from my team that we'd be able to build broadband and connect every household in Vermont. The concern really still remains around affordability of internet service plans, which is something that we continue to tackle and have continuing conversations about. And we have a couple of options that we're currently exploring with that. There's also we are, at least my role right now, focusing on leading the Digital Navigator program. And so in that program, we're focusing on devices. So how are we securing, preparing, and deploying devices to Vermonters so that they can connect to the internet? It's also within that program, we're going to be offering training. And so in Vermont, in our population, we have 8 covered populations. And so what that means is really there's like 8 kind of like subgroups of Vermonters that are nationally identified as having like a disproportionate amount of barriers to accessing the internet, or considering being more along the lacking side of the digital divide. And so part of my work is also to focus and tailor this program to meet each of the needs of the covered population based on whatever barriers or unique challenges that they face. And so in doing that, what we're also realizing is that we have some data gaps. What we've seen is that the national data isn't always statistically relevant to Vermont. And so then as we're looking at Vermont, we're recognizing, okay, we're going to need to gather more information to have a better baseline so that when we're going to measure, we're as accurate as we can be. And also to make sure we're not missing anyone, right? Like this is really no one gets left behind, project. And so we're really focusing on how to improve in that area too, and just ensuring we have the right data. And also thinking about like needing to know specifics on which devices, because that's going to vary on the individual. So that's
really. Yeah. Wow. That's so much work. It sounds like such a heavy lift. I want to follow up with you on a couple of things you were talking about there, but in terms of the Digital Navigator program, where are you in the is that something you're in the process of standing up?
It is. So with the Digital Navigator program, we are in like the beginning phases of visioning what that program would fully look like. And so we have identified, like our core partnerships for that program. We are, and I imagine as we establish those partnerships, then it'll branch out, right? Where we'll increase partnerships based on the varying needs of as we get more into the details of the needs of the various populations in our state.
Gotcha. Okay. It sounds like the overall goal of that program is going to be device support, digital skills. Anything else that I'm missing? Maybe support with helping just understand bills and such?
Yes. There's a technical skill. There's like a technical component of technical support. My vision in this program is that it's this holistic approach. And so that if there are concerns with someone's having a hard time understanding or reading their bill, that we would have these community-based digital navigators that can assist. They can assist with teaching Vermonters how to properly use their devices, how to get on the internet, how to keep themselves safe on the internet from malware or scams. The other piece too, like where should they go, right? And how do we make that as accessible as possible to everyone? Having a list of resources and having a list of organizations that are throughout the state assisting in these efforts.
Okay, excellent. I could talk about this probably for the next hour, so I'm going to force myself to move on. As this program gets going, I'd love to hear more and more about it. On the affordability piece, you mentioned that's obviously an important part of things. Currently, the Affordable Connectivity Program, which subsidizes broadband for low-income households, is in a wind-down phase, and it's set to run out of funding by May if Congress doesn't pass the extension bill or another bill that's allegedly being written. So a couple of questions for you, because you mentioned that one of your objectives is to address the affordability piece. How much harder does that become for you if the ACP does go away? And it sounded like you had some other options for addressing that in your state. What else are you looking at for dealing with affordability in Vermont?
So, of course, losing the ACP is a significant blow, really, to Vermonters, especially those that, based on like conversations we've had in our focus groups or interviews, listening sessions, there are a lot of Vermonters that rely on that for their connectivity. And so without it, we're having a lot of Vermonters that are, again, without connection to the internet. And so our office, I think even, at the time that I came on board on the team, we've been working on another plan in recognizing that we, you know, you can't have your eggs all in one basket. And, you know, looking long term at the time, you know, when we started to talk about affordability as a team, it was, you know, what was very clear to us was that there was no guarantee that the ACP would be a long term solution. And so because of that, it just forced that issue, you know, that need to be proactive. And so we've been exploring two options on affordability. Of course, it makes sense for both of these, you know, with these options, it makes the most sense to us to have them be a statewide approach. Vermont has a really great way of really banding together in times of adversity and in support of one another. And, you know, and like really kind of considering that there's, you know, we have like a desire to where we're looking into an adder to bills of all phone numbers to create a fund that can be used to assist Vermonters that are struggling with affordability. And we have another option that we're exploring where we're setting up a fund with successful BEAD bidders that would fund a program out of ARPU. And so with those, we're hoping that we'd be able to find something, you know, and those were still up in the air. We're also currently finalizing an affordability policy so that we're just to really bring us closer to be able to really like have a clearer picture as to what's going to work best for Vermont.
Okay. So, and just so I understand, do you mean an affordability policy as far as something that would align with the BEAD program or is just a separate statewide goal of affordability?
So it would have to align with the BEAD program, but it's a goal that gets us to that point where we are able, like what is our method or our approach to ensuring that after broadband is built, that Vermonters are able to connect, right?
Got it. Yeah. So. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. So, all right. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was the digital equity plan, which is, you know, basically is supposed to go hand in hand with BEAD. Of course, mm-hmm. BEAD is the deployment part of things and digital mm-hmm. equity is the making sure people can actually use the broadband that we've deployed everywhere mm-hmm. And have affordable access to it. So I know you all recently submitted your digital equity plan. Congratulations. I'm sure that was a huge relief to get that out of your hands for the moment. Can you share a little bit about what went into creating that plan and any high level takeaways that you want to share about what's actually in it? I assume the Digital Navigator program is part of that.
I'm sorry, can you say that last part?
Oh, I'm sorry. I assume that the goal to have a statewide Digital Navigator program is part of your overall digital equity plan?
Yes. So the plan okay. itself serves as the state's aspirational vision and strategy for digital equity. Mm-hmm. And so with the plan, it includes like a digital equity needs assessment, asset inventory, and an implementation plan. Mm-hmm. And the intent of the plan is really to prepare Vermont for NTIA grant funds for when we reach the implementation phase. So for the past year or, you know, several months, I say several months just for the time that I've been on the team, we've been focused on the planning side of the digital equity plan. So we've been having focus groups with each of the covered populations, each of the eight, and we've done listening sessions. We have had interviews. And we welcome input on our website or where folks can send emails, letters in the mail, really just trying to increase and allow as much accessibility as possible so that we can learn from Vermonters about their experiences and their needs. And taking all of that information to inform this plan, to come up with the best strategy in how we need to approach this. And so also within the plan, once when we get to implementation, that's going to be probably over the next several months where we're going to, and recognizing like what I mentioned earlier about the data gaps, taking some time to go back to just really like improve the data that we have collected.
And what does that entail to improve your data? Does that mean working with more local stakeholders? I'll just let you answer instead of suggesting what it might mean. Okay. Go ahead.
So we have, we're in the process of creating a data management position within the BCBB, and we are in process of establishing a partnership with a local university to assist with the research.
Okay, gotcha. And one last question for you then, and I'll let you go and get back to doing all of this extremely important work. You know, you mentioned a takeaway is that you've learned is that you needed different data. I'm also wondering, you know, with all of these listening sessions, is there anything that surprised you that you learned about people's broadband experiences in the state, or anything you didn't know about the digital divide before coming into this position?
I think that what I would say that has surprised me most is the experience of incarcerated individuals.
Okay.
And the lack of access, and then the various ways in which they can connect, and it's very limited, very restricted, and
costly.
Very costly. Yeah.
Right.
I think more than anything, I think I was more just shocked by how costly it is for them to use the internet in any way. I would say also just the amount of Vermonters struggling with using DSL and not being able to meet their needs, having trouble being able to access telehealth, remote learning, and it's very limiting. And I feel like I'm really happy and I'm really excited to shift this narrative that internet is a privilege, and changing that to internet being a given.
That's a perfect place to end it. So I will let that be the last word on this episode. Thank you so much, Brittany, for taking the time to talk with me and for the incredible work you're doing to change the future for people in Vermont. I wish you the best of luck, and I hope you'll come back.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Brittany, for joining me. Thank you as well to our producer, Pierre Landreau, for making this episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Light Reading Podcast for more episodes of The Divide, as well as interviews and insights from the Light Reading team. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.